It's the ERP Confab. I'm David Essex, editor-at-large at Search ERP with my colleague Brian McKenna, business applications editor at Computer Weekly. Today we'll be talking about the experience management trend that's been sweeping through the enterprise applications world. What do customer experience and employee experience mean, and what's the role of technology? We'll try to get at some answers and share our takeaways from interviews with three users of Qualtrics, the experience management and surveying platform that SAP acquired less than 2 years ago and recently spun out for an initial public offering. Brian, if you don't mind, it might be good to start with you. I understand you spoke to both Grundfos and who else?
Autodesk.
Autodesk, yes. The CAD/CAM and 3D design maker.
Yeah, they make software for people who make things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good way. That's a much more succinct way of explaining
it. Which is how they explain it.
Yes, they must be paying a marketer or perhaps a consultant some respectable fee to come up with these catchphrases. Now, one thing that I noticed in my brief study of Qualtrics is that in many ways, it's still fundamentally a survey tool, albeit a very impressive one with lots of analytics and I think a data repository. Was that the kind of use that you were hearing from the folks that you spoke to?
Yes, I would say so. So I spoke to Prakash Kota, who's the CTO of Autodesk. It might make more sense, given the kind of tenor of your question, to begin with Grundfos, which is a pumps manufacturer based in Denmark. Pumps are very important things. Incidentally, I used to work a publisher which published a magazine called World Pumps. Now, I had nothing to do with that magazine. I was looking after some information security journals. Elsevier was the publisher. Pumps are very important. World Pumps was the kind of star publication of our little publishing group within Elsevier. Pumps are important because water doesn't flow uphill.
Mm-hmm.
You have to make it do that.
Mm-hmm.
And you also have to, they also do water treatment and waste management. So what they do is very important. The gentleman I spoke to was Abdul Deskam, who's now in the HR transformation office. Just let me get Abdul's proper job title. So he's lead strategy execution specialist, HR transformation office. This is Abdul Deskam, and he's only really recently got his teeth into the employee experience side of things. He spent about four years-ish, working more on the customer experience side of things. Now, they had, he said, Grundfos, and their customers are... Actually, let me just give you an idea of who their customers are. So the customers for their pumps and so on are installers, wholesalers, facility managers, homeowners, consulting engineers, a real broad range of people. And they'd had 15 years of experience of doing annual surveys of those customers. And they wanted to move to a more real-time, more continuous mode of interaction with those customers, understanding them. And the phrase he used was moments that matter or in the moment, and so on. And so they went looking for some technology that would enable them to understand their customers better across the 80 or so countries that they serve. They calculated something like 200,000 touch points daily with customers. And very importantly, these are offline as well as online, although they're over time, they're shifting from analog to digital. Nevertheless, they have offline as well. And that was one of the things that attracted Abdul to Qualtrics in the first place, because he looked at SurveyMonkey, he looked at some other technologies, including I think some Microsoft technology, and he went for Qualtrics because they could do some offline stuff, so face-to-face interactions and telephone calls and things like that. They wanted to do things as automatically as possible. And really understanding the context of like how they were interacting with customers as well as who those customers were and what they were doing with them. And so over 3 years, 3 to 4 years, and interestingly, Abdul, towards the end of the conversation, he said his big, big piece of advice for people like himself, for his peers, is to start simple. He said he started with an Excel spreadsheet, which just listed what customer activities were and how they were measuring them. So he started with his advice was to start with a very simple approach. Although what they've got now is very sophisticated, he says, with Qualtrics. And really the whole idea was to collaborate across the business better and understanding customers, closing what he called experience gaps. Basically a frustrated customer going to a sale, you know, kind of getting to that, et cetera, et cetera. But he's now kind of moving from trying to kind of take that understanding of the customer journey to understanding the employee journey at Grundfos. So I think that more or less sums up what they're doing. They are also an SAP customer anyway. But the Qualtrics thing was very much something he did. He was on his own.
Yeah, I wonder, even though they are an SAP customer, and I suspect neither of us has the answer right now, whether the integration with whatever SAP systems he has was any good. Because, I mean, that was something like often happens when SAP acquires a company. They're looking to, they're needing to integrate the new product, the new technology into their systems. Although I think there were certain relationships. There's good connectivity, I think, between Qualtrics and the probably C4HANA and maybe S4HANA and SAP ECC, some of the on-premises systems probably.
They're an ECC customer.
Yeah. And then it's interesting, it seems like a lot of folks, it isn't just hype from the vendors, they do want to move from the customer experience, which is where this really does seem to start often, and where the biggest value has been proved, to the employee side. So that's a new thing for the Grundfos folks. This is something that they're planning to get into.
Yeah, but I was going to ask you, David, so I asked him, is this a trend? And he said, basically, yes. Mm-hmm. And my impression is it's a trend. But you're much more conversant with the HR software world than I am. Do you see this as a trend?
I do. In fact, I'm working separately on a package about employee experience and the various technologies that come into play the digital employee experience, the ways that people interact with their office systems, and also the way the human resources systems take them from what they call onboarding through to the so-called journey. So on the CX side, you have the customer journey. On the employee side, you have the employee journey. And all the many steps that are the moments that matter, sometimes called touch points, you use the phrase moments that matter earlier, comes up a lot in these discussions. I think it's part of the lingo. But it makes a certain amount of sense because when you're, let's say, a candidate for a job, that's a moment that matters. You're already forming your impression of a company. And then when you get the job, they start to bring you into the company. Those first few days are really rather complicated. We all remember them, especially those of us who were around when things were less automated, perhaps. So there's all sorts of systems that ideally should be integrated, and this is part of the employee experience effort. It goes way beyond surveying, goes into integrating the various systems, such as, just the HR system, getting the person's name in there, but also making sure that there's an IT help desk ticket that gets them their new computer. You actually, and I don't know how much this is being done yet, but it's being talked about, making sure that you tie this employee experience platform or workflow is probably a more accurate word because it isn't often one platform. You tie it even to the building security systems because the person needs to be issued a key card or some way of getting into the building often back when people went into buildings. And you do the reverse when they leave, the so-called offboarding process. And in the middle, there's the middle process, something that Chris Leone at Oracle was telling me about the other day, and I'll be covering in my upcoming feature on this. There's the middle of the journey, which is awfully important too. Major steps. When a person's been there several years, can the system, either in an automated way or at least pinging a manager, a departmental manager, business HR manager, reminding them that an employee has been there for 5 years and perhaps this is the time to look at what their next step is. And so that's a moment that matters when they've reached a certain seniority and maybe looking for their next job. And so it is employee experience has, I think, been probably the biggest buzzword in HR for at least 3 years, maybe 4 years. And so many of the vendors are claiming to do it. And yet, and I'll just stop here for the time being. They all recognize, and certainly the consultants who follow this and the HR managers recognize that employee experience goes way beyond technology. And so in the tech world, there's a temptation to try to sell a tool or a platform, anything you've got. Maybe it's just a regular HCM, human capital management system. Maybe it's a recruiting tool. And to say, and to put employee experience, and you know, and it often becomes a shorthand for user experience. It just becomes something that's easier to use, and the experience of using it is not painful. And yet the employee experience involves so much more. It involves office, it involves the furniture, it involves the kind of corporate culture that you've created. Do you have a nurturing culture? Do you have a culture that encourages innovation, or is there something toxic about the culture? Uh-huh. And so it goes way beyond technology.
So that's very interesting because I asked Abdul Deskam, so what's the difference? You know, you're moving from this three or so year program of improving Grundfos's customer experience. Now you're going to do the same for the employees. Mm-hmm. You know, what's the difference? And he did say there will be a role for Qualtrics. You know, they do want to have some automaticity and in the way they do this, but it is much more emotional because it's not so much about, well, it's partly about making Grundfos easier to deal with in the same way that it should be easy to deal with for a customer, but it's much more about employee engagement was the word that he used. So it's not only about being seamless, it's more about going deeper, really was the phrase that he used. And therefore there is a much bigger element for the non-technological side of this discipline. Mm-hmm. Is what he, you know, it's at very early days for him with this, I think. It's probably his first year of working on that side. But
I think the process is better established on the customer side, especially with e-commerce. Having been in place for so many years and it becoming the so-called omni-channel approach with smartphones and then the beacons that can recognize when the customer is in the retail store and all that stuff. It seems like the ability to capture data about the various touch points or when they go, you know, when they get the email confirming their order, all the different ways that you interact with customers.
And that's become even more the case. I mean, he said that in 2016, they reckon something like 55% to 55%. He reckoned that 45% to 55% of their customer interactions were analog, whereas in 2020, 70%. So, you know, that side of things with the customer, and there is that commercial imperative to digitize the business, to basically sell more through online channels and so on. You know, there is a real commercial drive there. I mean, do you think there's the same kind of commercial drive to doing a better job with employees? Is it so important?
I think so. You know, the world since COVID-19 is a bit, the whole talent equation is different. But before, as our friend Craig Stedman and others say, in the before times, there was a real labor shortage. And unemployment was very low in most of certainly the Western countries. And there was the war for talents. And so there was very much a sense that you better have a good employee experience because word's going to get around out on Glassdoor and the other, on social media. And it's going to be very hard to compete to attract workers to your company if you don't, well, for one thing, especially younger workers who...
Especially in certain zones. I mean,
yeah.
In Silicon Valley, in San Francisco.
Yeah.
In London. The war for talent.
You got to show that you're tech savvy, especially if you're trying to attract a younger workforce.
And give a really good breakfast.
There's that.
Lots of snacking opportunities.
Yes, and there could be a system for coordinating all of that. I don't know if that's. I'm always obsessed with integration. I don't know if the cafeteria system is integrated yet with the human capital management. But that's probably.
Well, of course, everyone's working from home now.
Yes, and that's changed things. And yet, the remote employee experience is getting to be a real thing. And so companies have had to shift to looking at what kind of remote employee experience do they provide? How do they hire people without at some point having the in-person interview? Well, they might still avoid that. They probably will compared to 6 months ago or a year ago when they were almost certainly done. Usually,
I'm not so sure that's so crazily different. No, I mean, interviewing people over video call has been around for 10 plus years.
It has been. That's true. Yeah, I guess maybe since it's been over 10 years since I started at TechTarget, I guess I have to refresh my my perception of how interviews are done. But now with people being practically afraid or it's almost against policy and sometimes against the local ordinances to bring a certain number of people into a building, everything's being done remotely. And so there is a real shift to the remote employee experience and looking at it from that point of view. I wonder if this is a good place for me to share my chat with Cheryl Parsons, who's the Chief Marketing Officer of ASUD, which is the America's SAP User Group. So again, the primary use of Qualtrics at that organization is to survey the customers fairly frequently. In this case, the customers are members of ASUD, the SAP users who joined this organization primarily for educational opportunities and networking. And Cheryl Parsons mentioned that they are going to do a bit of a shift. They are starting to use Qualtrics to survey the employees. They started doing it when COVID-19 hit, and they, like many companies, they wanted to check in on seeing how people were doing, especially in the early days of having to work from home. And they plan to expand that tool. But a few things that struck me about the interview with Cheryl Parsons is, for one thing, the Qualtrics tool sounds like it's pretty sophisticated in the sense of who uses it. Or who needs to analyze the data. So Cheryl Parsons herself has a lot of experience looking at customer data in her previous jobs, including at companies that had memberships and loyalty programs, especially where you have a huge amount of data coming in from point of sale systems and email signups and all that. But at ASUG, there are just four regular users of Qualtrics: herself, there's a manager of research, which tells you something, then the associate who works with the manager of research, and then the content manager. So the content manager is the main person, the person who's apparently primarily in charge of putting content up on the ASUG website and some of their other delivery mechanisms. And so they've been regularly surveying members of ASUG about the programs. And so they take the feedback and they use it to, just like a product vendor will do, they use it to modify and improve what they deliver, when they deliver it, how they get a sense of what their customers like. They use it for fairly frequent sort of continuous improvement of the offerings. And they use HubSpot, pretty well known tool, but they do use it for CRM. It's not just a kind of a marketing tool. It can be also used as CRM. And I believe Cheryl said it is integrated with Qualtrics. They also have a virtual event management tool called ON24. But they also use another tool called Cvent, which is a registration tool not integrated with Qualtrics, and something that they are requesting because they want to be able to get their registration information into the system. And so at ASUG, they also use Qualtrics very much as a repository of all this customer data. And they are starting to do, as many companies are starting to do, they are starting to move a bit more into the employee experience side of things.
So it's interesting what you were saying there, David, about Qualtrics being used by that customer, very special customer from an SAP point of view, about, you know, Qualtrics being used as part of a whole process of communicating with customers, publishing content, you know, someone in charge of content publication. Because, of course, with Qualtrics, insofar as I understand it, we're mainly looking at understanding customers. But then once you've understood them, you have to communicate with them, or alongside the understanding, you have to communicate with them. And there has come into being a new evolution of technology that is called digital experience platforms, or DXPs. Mm-hmm. And we've just published a feature by Kath Everett on Computer Weekly about DXPs, which are an evolution of web content management technology. So it's technology that's been around for a long time, but is now, you know, I guess, factoring in a range of ways of communicating with customers. It's part of the omni-channel world. So it's like web content management for a more omni-channel world.
I did encounter that a bit, the DXP thing, but I feel like I especially have encountered the equivalent of that in the employee experience realm again, as I've been talking to both users and vendors and analysts and consultants about the notion of an employee experience platform. And so ServiceNow is, you know, the sort of IT help desk and HR help desk vendor, now run by Bill McDermott, formerly of SAP, is probably leading in that area. But there are other major vendors, including Oracle. They don't have exactly a digital experience platform for HR, but they are trying to get there by a lot of the same effort of providing workflow across the different applications. But the content piece that you mentioned, to get back to your point, is very much a piece of this evolution, this effort to put together an employee experience platform. And so content management is it, which blends into and is often a part of a knowledge management effort. There's a term that goes way back, at least in my experience, it goes back at least 20 years and probably before that in the IT world.
Yeah, that means something to me, David, because one of the very first magazines that I edited was a publication called Knowledge Management Magazine. So I remember that world very well. I mean, I guess what we're saying here is that we are just scratching the surface in terms of customer experience, really just through this particular lens of Qualtrics.
Yeah.
But I think it's good that we're doing that, because we have been certainly I have been somewhat disobliging about the Qualtrics acquisition, the expense of it, and now it's being divested effectively, although SAP will maintain an interest in it, and it's not divested yet either. But there's clearly value in it. And there's another customer who we mentioned at the top of the podcast, Autodesk. I spoke to their CIO, Prakash Kota, or CTO. He's a very young C-level IT leader. Is Prakash, presence in Silicon Valley events, good media profile, things like that. And one of the interesting things about Autodesk, which incidentally, he's worked there for a long time, so he's come up through the ranks to be in the position that he's in. But they've changed their business model, essentially from DVDs to software as a service, which sounds very simple, but it's not simple, because it's going from having an indirect relationship with your customer to a much more direct relationship with your customer. And therefore, it's much more important to understand your customer and to understand their pain points. And that's what they've been using Qualtrics for. Prakash, I discussed this also on the Computer Weekly Downtime Upload podcast as well. He's a real enthusiast for automation. He jokingly says that he's a lazy engineer and he likes to recruit lazy engineers, because these are guys and girls who will, women, who will look at a problem and think, well, how can I automate that? Or look at a process and think, how can we make that better by automating it? Mm-hmm. And so their use of Qualtrics comes out of that mindset. They're also an SAP customer and an S4 HANA customer as well. They went from ECC4 to S4 HANA. So they are all in with SAP, very comprehensive. I think they use Ariba and Concur and things like that. But the real value for him of Qualtrics was in really discovering customer pain points in a more automatic way, doing sentiment analysis on customers. And they were looking at their support center and also product downloading and what were the bumps in the road that customers were coming across in downloading products. They use a customer XM, Core XM, and Text IQ from the Qualtrics stable. And of course, it's a worldwide organization. They have offices in Michigan, Singapore, Bangalore, Dublin. So they are, they are getting value from Qualtrics, I suppose, is what I'm saying there. And that shouldn't really be gainsaid for all the fun that we might have about how much they paid for it and now they're divesting it. Mm-hmm. It's something people there are getting value from, and this is an SAP customer that will continue to get value from it, at least on his account.
Yeah. Text IQ is a product I'm familiar with from several years ago, when I heard about it being used as a way to look for biases and words that might turn off certain applicants to jobs, such as something that might suggest, for example, that only men are appropriate for a particular position in the language. And so sentiment analysis, since we're on the topic, is really key to going beyond just the surveying part and embedding more intelligence and more awareness of how the employee or the customer feels about a product or a company or the systems they're using, because it seems as if sentiment analysis, because it is AI-based and automated, can be embedded into different parts along in the moments that matter, the different touch points from beginning to end, when the customer first comes in and when the employee first comes in. This sort of next step, it's something that's being done now, but it seems like it points to the kind of experience management 2.0 or 3.0, whatever you want to call it, where things are more spread throughout the ecosystem of enterprise applications, the many systems that people touch in their job or as a customer. And this topic came up a little bit in a nice discussion I had with John Reed, our friend from the analyst community at John Reed of Diginomica, yes, who we both know. And he talked a bit about not only the Qualtrics spinoff, but just where it all fits in the...
Oh, did he?
Okay. He did, yes. And he felt, well, let me just share a little bit of the specifics here from John. He thought that SAP was sort of pursuing an XM or experience management revolution and had a vision for that. He thinks that they probably should, SAP needs to back off talk that's a little too extravagant and maybe unrealistic, especially given that the SAP product line, John says, and Qualtrics were, quote, hardly deeply integrated, not very deeply integrated at all when the experience management hype was at its highest. John Reed added that he thinks that SAP can do without the survey management, you know, being the sole owner, and they're still going to be a large investor in Qualtrics. But that if they don't want to back off the sensory management and sensory and sentiment feedback, because it's such a key part of the more autonomous kind of ERP that most of the major vendors are talking about. A little slow to get to the point here. ERP that knows what you need. So this is where chatbots come in. This is the vision we've been hearing from Oracle and SAP and Infor, where your user experience, your employee experience, and I guess your customer experience is improved because you can ask a question and the bot is smart enough or has access to enough of a knowledge base and the document base to find answers. The artificial intelligence is good enough to know what you're getting at. And so, interestingly, John also added, he thinks that in some ways, purely transactional ERP systems are almost getting to be a commodity. This move towards going beyond just the sort of surveys that people have to answer in a more automated way of analyzing and sensing how they feel about things, where the bottlenecks are, as you said.
I think that's the way that Prakash was saying they're using the technology at Autodesk.
Yes, he is using it that way already, or at least trying to. Well, that's it for our discussion today. Thanks for listening, and thank you, Brian, for another good chat.
Thank you, David.